Other people use PowerPoint. I don't know how. So that's okay. I shall do the old-fashioned visual aid way. Okay, today is
Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Emily. And we're looking today at one of the names of God. Now, we're going to be looking at some names of God in our family services for the next little while. And so this is the first one. Listen, because I might give you a test at the end. All right? This name is Jehovah Jireh. Does anybody know what it means, actually? Rob does. What does it mean, Rob? Yeah, the Lord will provide. Okay, so any good sermon has 3 points.
So does mine.
Okay, first one, Jehovah. This name means I am who I am. That's what God first said when he was talking to Moses. And Moses said, who will I say sent me to the Egyptians to tell the Pharaoh to let them go? And he said, tell them I am sent you. Right? So he is the one who has existed before all time and will always, always be. He's the eternal God and the unchanging one. So, what is this? A hula hoop. What shape is it? A circle. Does a circle have a beginning or an end? No. No, it doesn't.
Okay, right. Yeah, you're not supposed to heckle, okay? This is just the visual. Use your imagination if you will. A circle has no beginning or an end. It's like a picture of God, right?
God, I am who I am. He's the eternal one. The one with no beginning or no end. The one who never changes. Okay? Jehovah. Say that with me. Jehovah. I am who I am. Right, here's the next point. That was a quick one, wasn't it? Jireh. That means the Lord will, it means provide. Will provide. It also means sees. Now, if you're a small person, you're welcome to come up because I'm going to read you a story now. Because you might want to see the pictures. Okay. And this is the first time that this name of God, Jehovah Jireh, is mentioned. Okay? I'll try and hold the pictures up too so that some other people can see them. God tests Abraham. Some of you may have heard this story before. The Lord was gracious to Sarah. He did for Sarah what he had promised to do. Sarah had a son. Abraham named him Isaac. Sarah was Abraham's wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know. So he had a son called Isaac. Did you know, by the way, that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born? And God first made that promise to him when he was 75. So he had to wait for 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. But God did fulfill his promise. Sometime later, after Isaac was born, God put Abraham to the test. Picture here. He said to him, Abraham, take your only son. He is the one you love. Are you listening? Take Isaac and go to Moriah. That was a mountain. Give him to me as a burnt offering. Oh no, what does that mean? He has to kill him as an offering. God is asking Abraham, who waited 25 years for the promise, who waited 100 years to have his child, to offer up Isaac because he loves him. Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He put a saddle on his donkey. He took his son Isaac with him. He cut enough wood for the burnt offering. Then he started out. Abraham put the wood for the burnt offering on his son Isaac. Isaac's carrying the wood. He himself carried the fire and the knife. They didn't have cigarette lighters back then. He had to carry the fire with you. Isaac spoke up. He said, "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God will provide the lamb, my son. God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide the lamb, my son." Here they are up Mount Moriah. Can you see this? Abraham built an altar. He put the wood on it. He tied up Isaac. He placed him on top of the wood. Then he took out the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you respect God. You have not held back from me your only son." Abraham looked up. There in the bush, he saw a ram. What is a ram? A male sheep, thank you. It was caught by its horns. He took the ram and he sacrificed it. He killed it and burnt it on the altar instead of his son. And that's the end of the story. You may go and sit back down with your families. So what did Abraham say to Isaac when Isaac said, "We've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where's the lamb?" What did God say? What did Abraham say, Sam? God will provide. And what is that in Hebrew, I think? Is it Hebrew, Glenn? The name? I think it is. What is that name that we're talking about today? The name of God? Jehovah Jireh. That's the provide a bit. The Lord will provide. Now, there's two things that God provides for. Firstly, he provides for our salvation and our eternal life, right? Do you remember? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. God gave his only son, just like Abraham was willing to give his son Isaac. God gave his son for us, so that we could have eternal life. But God also provides for our earthly needs, like all this stuff here, food that we need to eat in order to live, and drink, flowers and other things to make the world a beautiful place so that we enjoy it. Because God doesn't just give us what we need. He gives us more than what we need. He gives us, it's called abundantly. He gives us far more than we need, stuff that we can even enjoy, because he wants to bless us. And I think one of, you know, in the Bible and in other times, you know, different cultures would have lots of gods that they would sacrifice to for different things. You know, like, "We sacrifice to you, God of the harvest, so that we'll have a good harvest." Or, "We sacrifice to you, God of the ocean, so we could have good fishing," and stuff like that in some cultures. And I think in our culture, our biggest idol is the idol of self-reliance. You know, I can do it all myself. It's me that worked to get the money to buy this food, right? Or it's me that's watering my plants to make them grow. But you know what? It's God who provides the food for us to buy. It's God who provides the job for us so that we can have money to do all these things. And it's him who's our provider, not us. So the first one was Jehovah, the never-ending, unchanging God, I am that I am. The second one was Jireh, God the provider, who provided a ram for Abraham to sacrifice instead of Isaac, and who provides everything that we need for eternal life and for here and now. And here is the last one. Oh, and I did need my Bible. Now, when we celebrate today, we're actually celebrating something which has gone on for thousands of years. And the closest thing is the feast of, does anybody know? It's a feast. Who said something? Tabernacles, Ruth. Excellent. Now, I remember Alan Gilman talking about this 7 years ago. I was very pregnant with Connie at the time because she was born 2 weeks later, and so I don't remember everything that he said. But listen to this. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles will begin, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present to the Lord another offering. It is the closing assembly. Do no regular work. So, beginning with the 15th day of the 7th month, after you've gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the 8th day also is a day of rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Man, can you imagine coming here and staying here for 7 days? We'd all be camping out. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is a lasting ordinance or a command for the generations to come. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths so that your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, did you hear that bit? Where were they supposed to live? In booths. Now, a booth, I did a little bit of research. Heidi, can you come and sit underneath here? Where is she? Heidi, come and sit underneath here. A booth was something that they built to live in when they came out of Egypt. So it's kind of like God's telling them to go camping, right? So they have like these branches. Sorry, I got back from a holiday last night. I didn't have time to go and gather anymore. They have branches. They're making booths. And you know what? In the book of Nehemiah, when they rediscovered the book of the law, they did this. And they built booths on top of their roofs of their houses because they had flat roofs. And they lived in them for 7 days. So it's like going camping. You know, you don't have your regular bed. You don't have the normal comforts that you have. You're remembering what it was like when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Now, when they came out of Egypt and they were wandering through the desert, what was there to eat? Manna and quail. And who provided the manna and quail? God did. So when they're living in these booths, how many of you go camping in the summer? When you go camping, it kind of reminds you how much you don't need, right, when you're at home. You just take along a few clothes. You don't need all the stuff that's in your wardrobe. You take along a few clothes. You take along some food and a burner. And you're just living basic, right? Well, this is what it was like. They were living basic. It's a reminder of the desert years and that God provided for them. So, thank you, Heidi. You can go and sit back down again. So God is, what was the first name of God? Jehovah, the unchanging, eternal one. I am who I am. God is also Jireh, our provider, who provides what we need for eternal life and also for now. And we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles to remind us that God is the one who provides for us. And to give thanks. Now, here's a challenge for you. They were commanded to give thanks for 7 days. 7 days. And then on the 8th day, they were to come back again. Wouldn't it be awesome if this week we had such thankful hearts that we were celebrating before God all the time? Every meal in our house this week was a celebration of what God has done. I'm going to try and do that. Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are the unchanging one. We thank you that you provide for us. And that because we know that you never change, we know that you will always provide for us. Thank you for giving us eternal life when we trust in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for providing everything that we need and more in this life. And thank you for your command to celebrate, to have joy in your presence, to give you thanks and to remember that it's not all about us, but it's you. And I pray now that you would help us to celebrate in your name. Amen. Okay. We're going to sing some more songs. And I would encourage you to celebrate before God as we sing these songs. If you don't normally stand up and sing, I'd encourage you to stand. If you don't normally dance, but you've always wanted to, there's space at the back. Nobody's going to laugh at you because they won't be turning around and looking. But let's celebrate before God.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing we can celebrate. Last night, Rose and I watched a movie. It was pretty depressing, called The Year of the Dog. And the lady who was a hit in the movie, she was in her mid-40s. She had no friends, only loved her dog, and her dog died. And all her friends were strange, selfish, neurotic. And you know, you watch a movie like that, and you figure, okay, they're just making the movie really sad, eh? But I work with this gal at work, and she's telling me how, you know, all her friends are neurotic and always victimized and always sad and always mad at people. I said, you got to get some new friends. She says, where do you find new friends? I just thought, I am so thankful for this group here. We're not perfect. But you know what? There's life here. There's so many, you know, I look at so many of you. There's life, and I love hanging out here. I love hanging out with you folks here. And I just wish some people like this gal, I could bring her and her family in here that she won't have anything to do with church at this point. Yeah, hoping that will change. Because there could be so much life here. And so I'm so thankful for the group of you that are here. Just look around as we celebrate. Let's say, thank you, God, what you've got here. We want to see you build more community here. We want this place to become more of a welcoming place that people can come in and find life. Because God has been so good to us.
You know what, before we just start to sing, let's just take a moment and think of one time when God's provided for us. I have one story to share. We came back from a holiday last night. We've been away for a week, and we had to kind of, you know, get stuff ready to bring here today for the potluck and for the tables and finish working out what I was going to say. And then the phone went. And it was Mike's dad on the phone. He said, oh, while we were away, because we went with them, he said, somebody left an apple pie at our door. And I thought maybe you guys could use it for your potluck. I was like, yes, I don't have to go out and buy anything like that or make anything like that. That was one thing that God provided, even though I didn't really ask. So let's just be quiet just for a moment and think of something that God has provided for us, something that we can be thankful for.